With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. We're going to start there tonight. We've been studying along the lines of faith. And tonight we're going to talk about something I think we miss so much in the body of Christ, and that's prayer. If you were here Sunday, then you know we talked about if your prayer is just speaking to God and telling Him what you need, then you're missing more than half a prayer. When we pray, we really need to know what God's will is in our life. We can't pray in faith until we know what God's will is in our life. And once we know, then we can exercise faith. And we said that prayer doesn't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. Without faith, your prayer's not going to work. And so, when we come and we study the Word of God like this, it's not to be entertained, it's to be transformed and to be changed. We said some other things about prayer that I want to hit on before we go into the lesson tonight, and a little bit of review. Praise the Lord. That's right. Faith, we said faith doesn't live in the past. Faith doesn't live in the future. Faith lives victoriously in the present. And there's a difference between now and the present. And as we've been studying faith, we've studied Mark 11:23, we've studied Hebrews 11, but we really focused in on Romans chapter 8 and Ephesians chapter 1 regarding being led by the Spirit. Because prayer is not natural. It's absolutely not natural. Prayer and faith are spiritual things. They come from the Spirit. They exist in the Spirit. They activate heaven. They activate spiritual beings, spiritual principles, and spiritual powers. Okay? So faith is not natural. Prayer is not natural. And what I mean by that is faith doesn't have its origin in your head. It has to come out of your heart. Faith doesn't stem from your intellect. And that's where I believe God allowed the movement to be miscarried, to die, literally. Because we became more about the intellect than we did about the inner man. We became more about confession than we did what the will of God was. And faith has to begin where the will of God is known. And it's just not making a decision in your mind, this is what you want. See, the desires have to come up out of your heart. And if you're new tonight, we say this here at the Cathedral. Revelation rises and thoughts descend. They meet in the mixing part of who your inner man is. That's your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So there are times that you can speak completely out of the will of God, especially when you're praying in tongues, speaking in tongues. But there are times you speak out of your unrenewed mind. And when your mind is renewed or transformed with the will and the Word of God, which are the same, the will and the Word of God, then what's the truths that are inside of your spirit rise up out, and they don't have resistance, and they can come out of your mouth and cause creative miracles to begin to manifest in your life. Does that make sense? If you see it in your spirit and your mind will agree with it, if your mind will just get neutral, and then you speak it out of your mouth, you see, that's when the miraculous power of God manifests. And it doesn't have anything to do with the future. It doesn't have anything to do with the past. It has to do with the present. Amen? Are you with me? So faith doesn't live in the past, and prayers that you prayed in the past, see, God, Well, I don't want to go too far into that. Faith lives victoriously in the present. And the secret to faith has been revealed to us in the Scripture, that it is the ability to be content, whether you're in need or you're abounding. King James says, abasting or abounding. Whether you're in lack or whether you have more than enough. And when you learn the secret of being content in the eternal, see, now you can step into faith. We talked on Sunday that faith isn't a matter of your mind necessarily being at peace. Because when you step out in faith, your mind's going to go nuts. Because God's asking you to do something beyond your ability, beyond what you can put together, beyond what your influence can cause, beyond. He's going to ask you to do something beyond. And if your mind agrees with it, then probably, if your mind can put 1 and 2 and 3 together and it equals 6 and you're okay with that, it's probably not God. Because God's going to ask you to stretch for 7 and 8. He's always going to ask you to do something more than you know how to do. Otherwise, it's not faith, it's knowledge. And if you've done it multiple times, then it's called understanding. Are you getting it? Faith is doing something that you don't know exactly how to do. To go somewhere you've never been. Like Abraham searched for a city whose architect and builder was God. He hadn't seen it. So you're going somewhere you don't know exactly how to get there. Therefore, you have to depend on the Holy Spirit who teaches you all things. And you renew your mind with the Word. And you begin to speak out of the abundance or the overflow of your heart. And that's through not just discipline, and I'm going to say this to make it happen in my life. That's positive thinking. But in agreement. I'll step into just a little bit farther so we can go on. Your mind is to be governed by your spirit. That means your spirit is to tell your mind what to think. And if I were just to speak just as plainly as I can be, in the church, we need to learn how to think out of our spirit. We need to learn how to speak out of our spirit. It doesn't mean you throw the mind away, you throw the intellect away. It means that you cause your mind to be conformed to the revelation that God gives you in your spirit. And that comes from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And revelation comes. And the anointing teaches you all things about your personal life. Amen? Okay. Are you guys where I'm at yet? All right, Luke chapter 11. Are you there?
Yeah.
Are you looking at it? One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples to pray." He said to them, now listen, Jesus didn't say, "No, I don't think I'm not going to teach you that because that's what makes me the Christ." He went right into teaching. And when you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you liberally without finding fault. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come.'" And in the King James it says, "On earth as it is in heaven." Right? Isn't that what it says? And a lot of translations carry that through. God's will is that his kingdom come on the earth. That his will be done on the earth. Am I correct? How does God's will not get done on the earth? If God is God and he is sovereign, which means that he can act independently of anybody, do what he wants when he wants, then how is it that God's will is not being done? Now there's the secret of the Scripture. That's what Jesus came to restore to us. God in his sovereignty gave us the ability to declare things on this earth. In the Old Testament they called what Christians are prophets. Because we prophesy over our own life. Whether you're born again or not, you're never going to rise above the level of your confession. And I'm not talking about the things that you've written down on your refrigerator. Or you've written on a little tag and you stick it on your steering wheel and then one in the bathroom. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the abundance and the overflow of your heart. You'll never become greater than you see yourself in your inner man. You'll never rise above the abundance of what you say. And if we are always in turmoil, then I can guarantee that your tongue is always in turmoil. Not because your discipline is producing it, it's your heart that's producing it. God didn't give 100% authority to Adam. He shared his authority with Adam. Because God came and he walked in the cool of the evening. Adam didn't have to invite him down. The Bible says that the earth and its fullness belong to God. The cattle on 1,000 hills are his. The gold and the silver are his. But he shared that with his son Adam. Amen? He shared it. Everybody say shared.
Shared.
And so Adam gave his share in lordship to Satan. Jesus came and redeemed that. And in Christ, we have the authority to declare, to speak things out of our spirit, out of the Word, into our life. Come on. If you're not born again, out of what you say and out of what you think is what's going to determine your life. If you're born again, it's not a natural law, it's a spiritual law. That heaven and the armies of the commander of the host of heaven enforce. So why do we pray? Because God has, in his sovereignty, given us a shared part of authority. Now let me take you just one step backwards. God still is sovereign. Jesus is in the heavens with flesh. Flesh and bone have I, he said. When he was talking to his disciples. Because of that, Jesus has redeemed totally the authority on the earth. But he shares it with his body. Come on. So God can do what he wants, when he wants, according to his word, according to what his will is that he's revealed to the earth. But he also looks at you, come on, he looks at you to declare his will on the earth. That's what prayer is. And if you don't know what his will is, you can't declare those things in faith. Now there's part of prayer that intercedes for those who don't know, asks for the will of God to be revealed. But I'm talking tonight about the prayer that we pray in faith, declaring things over our life. Things that be not as though they are supposed to be. Amen? So Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Or, Father, your name is holy. That's what hallowed means. Your name is holy. It's not a byword. It's not something I associate in my speech with an exclamation point. Your name is holy. And he says, your kingdom come on this planet right here as it is in heaven. So we have some pictures of what it's like in heaven. Is there pain in heaven? No. Is there poverty in heaven? Is there lack in heaven? Sickness, disease, torment, sleepless nights, strife in the house, strife in the mansion? No. So that is what it is like in heaven, where God has established his will. And he wants you and me to declare that will on the earth. And you understand, we're not talking about praying where you're asking God, what's your will? What's your will, God? Because that's part of prayer. That listening to God, that revelation that comes from God. But the part that we're talking about tonight is the declaration of his will. The proclamation of God's, of the gospel. The good news. Amen. And then Jesus says, give us each day our daily bread. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, turn there. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to come right back. We're going to keep coming back to this scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Now, he just said, give us our day, our daily bread. Now, I want you to think in line with what Jesus did with the bread from the little boy who had five loaves and two fishes. What did he do? He multiplied it. So the little boy gave him his daily bread, and then Jesus multiplied it. That was what he was to eat that day. So in that context, God desires for you to, not only, he gives you, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And then it goes on and says that we'll reap what we sow, that God's not mocked, that he longs for you to have more than enough to give into every account, one translation says. That you have more than enough to give to anyone that's in need. Okay? So when we're talking about your daily bread, everybody say daily bread.
Daily bread.
We're not talking about an amount just to feed you and your family. We're talking about an amount so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. As a matter of fact, Lord, you just had me digging all over this thing. If you're praying for food, if you're using your faith to pay your bills, you haven't even begun in faith. Because when you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things are added to you. Come on. When you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. He knows what you have need of even before you pray. Your faith is not for you. We'll find that out here. Your faith is for other people. Because if you're a child of God, he's going to take care of you. I mean, to know that your daddy is good is the first step in faith, and that he wants to take care of his children. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't times or seasons that you may have to press in and renew your mind to that fact. And in discipline, there are seasons of attack. There are seasons where Satan would like to just choke the seed. But overall, you learn how to be content, whether you have more than enough to give into every good work, or you're abasting, or you don't have enough. Praise the Lord. And Satan just loved to, if he can make you flinch, he'll swing at you all the time. And if you flinch every time you have more bills than you have money, he's going to be sure that he's adding bills. He's going to be sure that he's adding finance fees. He's going to be sure he's adding NSF fees. He's going to be sure that he's just getting you to spend where you shouldn't spend. You understand? All right. So he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for us to do." Isn't that what it says in your scripture? When did he prepare them? When it came up? No, he prepared them in advance. Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He prepared for you in advance. God knows the end from the beginning. So, see, when he sends you out to do something, you're blessed to be a blessing. He prepared that in advance for you. We receive it by faith. Are you there? And so, if he prepared this in advance, your need isn't going, you're not going to inform God of your need. He knew it before he even started praying. He knows what you have need of tomorrow. He knows what you have need of next month. He knows what you have need of next year. Come on. Your daily bread has been assigned before the foundation of the world. And it's not that, you know, this week I have planned for you to get slim. I have planned for you, you're going to live lean this week. Now, the month of January, you know, I've got a plan that you're not going to have enough. God's the God of more than enough. He's an abundant supplier. As a matter of fact, Jehovah Jireh says that what? He's the God who sees the need in advance and prepares. It gives more than enough. Okay? Yes. All right, I don't know why we keep coming back to this, but give each one of us our daily bread. The idea here is that your daily bread isn't just enough to pay your bills and to feed your family. The idea is that your daily bread should be enough to give you seed to sow, bread to eat, enough that you don't have to grind everything up to make your bread. You get to sow some, so you have a continually increased harvest. Come on. Praise the Lord. If you're in a measure of faith, and you only have enough to pay your bills and not enough to sow to the family down the block who's in need, or to buy somebody else's Christmas presents or two. Come on now, guys. If you're not there, it's not because the provision isn't there. All right. Forgive us today, this is verse 4, forgive us our sins, for also we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Everybody say temptation. The book of James says, God does not tempt you, for he can't be tempted and he won't tempt you. And all you got to do is pray that he doesn't lead you into temptation. And by faith, you are led away from, when you're led by the Holy Ghost, led by the Word, you're led out of temptation. Yeah. And you know, since you've been born again, when you entered into sin, there was a still, small voice that said, don't go down that street. Oh, it'll be okay just this once. Come on. We're talking about faith and praying. So let me ask you a question. Does God lead somebody into temptation? That's not his will. But why do you pray it? So you can access his will. So you can activate his will. So you can proclaim his will. You literally pave the way for God to lead you out of temptation. Does he desire to? Yes. Can he lead you out of temptation without your prayer? He's very limited. He has to work through mercy and grace. But God wants to work through your life through faith. Grace gives you what you don't deserve, and mercy withholds what you do deserve. Amen? Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not in temptation. And James says that he will not tempt you. He will test you, but he won't tempt you. Does that make sense? You know why God tests? Because he wants to promote. If you pass a test, the only reason that God will ever test you is because he's looking to promote you. He'll test you. He will test you in your finances to see, will you take that little extra that you got this month and buy a Blu-ray? Or will you sow it into the kingdom of God? Will you put some in savings so that your children's children will have an inheritance? Or do you just blow it? That's a test. But whether or not you take that $20 that somebody left on the table at the restaurant and the waitress didn't get and you slip it in your pocket, now that's a temptation. Do you understand the difference? Amen. Now let's go to Mark chapter 11. Jesus said, when you pray, we're going to go to Mark chapter 11, we're going to go to verse 22 through 24, and we're going to come back to Luke chapter 11. There are times that we pray to determine the will of God in our personal life. But if you're going to pray in faith, you're going to proclaim things. Let me give you this. I'm just going to put this out here for you. If you're asking God, you're not in faith. When you agree with God, you're in faith. Does that make sense? Now, when you can ask God in faith, because when you ask, you're going to believe that he's going to give you the wisdom that you need. But if you're asking about a certain situation, you're not in faith yet. And you can't really be in faith until you know that you know that you know. Does that make sense? You got to know, not with your head, because your head will be led by emotions. Your head can be, your mind can change based on your diet. Come on. Your mind can change based on how much sleep you get. Your attitude, your emotional state, all of that can change based on your body and outside circumstances. But your spirit is eternal. It doesn't change. You just learn how to tap more into it. Okay. Now, Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their head, but is that what it says? But does not doubt in his heart. See, we missed it, guys. It's not. Your head will always try. Your head, Jesus said, Peter, go ahead, walk on the water. Come out to me. And his head, his eyes saw the storm. His skin felt the cold water splashing up against his thigh. And his mind said, ooh, this is cold. You're going to die, boy. But his heart agreed with what Jesus said. Peter was quick to act upon what was in his heart. If you believe in your heart, just because you have a doubt doesn't mean you're not in faith. You know, doubt is not birthed until you speak it or you act contrary to it. Doubt is not birthed. It doesn't come through the birth canal until we speak the doubt. We formulate it into words, which you know what that does? That prophesies, that predicts, that transforms things in the spiritual realm for that doubt to manifest. You want to know one of pastor's pet peeves? When somebody says, I had a dream. Let me tell it to you. And I'll say, you'll hear me say, did you ask God if it was from him? Well, no, I didn't. Then shut your mouth. Because Satan could put a dream in your head. He could put a thought in your head. And if you speak it out of your mouth, you're going to give the thing power. We're going to be held accountable for every idle word. And we're to transform our mind, not with the washing of the word alone, but with the power of Christ, the anointing that abides within us. So we're to govern our tongue and our thoughts by that power. It's not discipline alone. Discipline only bridges the gap between where you want to be and where you are. And God takes you from glory to glory. That's good preaching right there. Verse 23, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their where? In their heart. But believes what they say will happen. It will be done for them. So belief, faith is spiritual. It's not natural. We transform how we think sometimes just by simply adding more and more to it. I'll give you an example. Of your own personal life, not mine. Have you ever bought something out of emotion? And then as you're driving home, you're thinking of all the reasons that you logically can support why you bought it. What are you doing? You're adding to the concept or the idea so you can communicate to somebody else why you did what you did when you know on the inside you should have done it. That's natural thinking. And it can work either way in the kingdom of God and in your life. You can add and add and add why negative things and bad things are going to happen to you, while the devil's after you, while you never can get ahead. Or you can add and you can add naturally to why you're going to be a success. But that doesn't activate the kingdom of God. That just changes your thought pattern. What's eternal always is. And so we yield to the eternal. We govern our thoughts to the eternal, the Spirit of God within you. Amen? All right. Verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, I'm trying to approach this from a different way so we can learn. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Where do you believe it at? In your head or in your heart? Heart. In your soul or in your spirit? In your spirit. I remember a couple years ago, I was talking to a pastor, and he burned himself out of ministry, but I was talking to him in a coffee shop, and I said, you just need to learn how to think out of your spirit. He says, what do you mean, think out of your spirit? I've never heard such a thing. Hold on, I have the mind of Christ. So I can think out of the mind of Christ. Not limited to simply the things around me, or natural laws, or laws that are made by governments or cities, or ideas or concepts of what's acceptable or not. I am governed by the eternal. And that never changes. So all I got to do is get myself back in line with what has already been and what will always be. And there's power there. Praise the Lord. Now go back to Luke chapter 11. Go to verse 5. So Jesus said, believe in your heart. Remember the centurion? Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And you know, the guy's thought pattern probably started going crazy. And Jesus said, now don't. What? Don't doubt. Only believe. The guy was starting to disconnect his heart, not his head. His heart. I mean, somebody told you your child was dead. Your heart's going to go south.
Yeah.
You can yield to that because your heart is a place of that can change. Understand, your heart is not your spirit. Your heart is the mixing place between, it's a connecting place between your spirit and your soul. It's not out of your soul that you speak. It's not out of your spirit that you speak. It's out of your heart. That's why you can have fresh water and you can have salty water out of the same spring. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to speak out of our spirit like Adam did. When God created Adam, he became a speaking spirit. He became a creative speaking spirit like his Father God. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Anybody looking crossways at me yet? You know, I just decided I got to preach the word. I've got to preach the revelation that I have. Praise the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend. Hold on. This is Luke chapter 11, right? And 1 through 4, he says, teach us how to pray. And he goes into, what, the Our Fathers, right? And now he's talking, he hasn't changed. When Jesus, he didn't say, okay, now, you know, you pray this way, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Now we're going to talk about something different and put a different header inside the scripture there. It's the same time frame. He tells him, now this is the way, the method, I don't like the word method. Somebody help me out. The manner in which you pray. The attitude in which you pray. Does that make sense? Otherwise, it's a method, and it's when it's A, B, C, D, seven steps to faith, those kind of things. And it's really got to come out of your spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. We're to let the Spirit intercede for us. When we don't know how to pray out of our head, then we pray completely out of our spirit. Because you can pray by an act of your will, but it's so powerful when you pray by the Spirit. Then Jesus said to them, teaching them how to pray, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, and a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. Now, this is talking about prayer. Who's the bread for? For someone else. This is the example. The two places that Jesus said, you have great faith. One was a Syrophoenician woman, and the other was a centurion. He said, you don't have to come underneath my house. You don't have to come. You just speak the word. Both of those cases, those people were petitioning, praying. That's what prayer means. Petitioning Jesus for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So great faith in this concept is when you use your faith for somebody else. And see, if you're taking care of somebody else's needs, God will take care of your needs. That's just the way the kingdom of God works.
Praise the Lord.
Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has come on a journey and I have nothing to offer him. And suppose the one inside says, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give the bread, because of friendship. Everybody say, because of friendship. Yet because of your shameless audacity. I like that. Because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much bread as you need. In the Amplified Bible, it says that you keep asking and asking. But that's really not the best representation of this. Because Jesus said, when you pray, you believe that you've received. So you're not asking and asking as if to change. If you do it enough, the scales are going to tip and God's going to change his mind. Why is he not going to change his mind? Because he did this before the foundation of the world. He knew you were going to come ask. He's got the loaves behind the door. But this is not a picture of God. This is a picture of a friend. And God is your father. But he says, even a man whose friendship is iffy will respond to the confidence that you will get what you ask for. Are you getting it? Shameless audacity. To be shameless. I have done this in, I can't tell you how many countries, because you go into the country and you paid your visa and everything, and you got to go to a gal or a guy, and they've got to stamp your visa before you go through, or the security guys have to look at your luggage, and they are very much accustomed to, the government jobs don't pay much, but they make their money by receiving a little kickback, a little juice, a little dollar. I remember one time I was in the Congo, and the gal says she couldn't speak much English. And she looked at all the paperwork, and then she looks at me, and she goes like this. I said, no. She said, she put her hand back like this, and I said, no. She says, give the girl some money. I said, no. And I stood there for 45 minutes until she stamped it. All she wanted was a dollar, but I was sick and tired of it. I mean, when do you understand? Mm-hmm. I've been in places where they charge you, they'll let you go to the bathroom free, but there's a guy standing outside who has taken the toilet paper from the inside, and he wants $2 so you could have a piece of toilet paper to use the bathroom, whether you need it or not. And if you're confident, it may not be immediate, guys, when you're dealing with the devil, but if you're confident and you know, and you don't have any shame, because you know that it belongs to you. The devil will yield, but God is very quick to respond, because he has already prepared before the foundation of the world the thing that you have need of. When did it belong to you? Before the foundation of the world. When did you receive it? When you believed that you received it. Yeah. Not with your head, with your heart. You got revelation. Come on. Mm-hmm. And suppose the one on the inside says, don't bother me. This is a very inconvenient time. It's just not a good time. The economy's not right. It's not the right time for you to ask for this. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, because of a natural bond, this man being evil compared to God will get up and give it if you know that you know that you know. I'm telling you, they'll get up and they'll make the bread if you believe. So I was down at City Hall 4 months ago. And I'd been working around this thing, getting the filling station moved over here. And they told me, no, you got to dot this I. No, you got to cross this T. No, you got to have the architect go back and change this plan. No, you got to have the designer come back. Now you got to have this engineering change. And it was time. And finally, I just said, that's it. I said, that's it. We're getting this done today. I said, how much is the permit? He said, I can't give you a permit. I said, how much is the permit? He said, I can't give you a permit. I said, how much is the permit? He said, well, how much is the job going to cost? I said, well, I assume it costs this much. So he figured it up. He said, if I were going to give you a permit, it'd be this much. He said, but I can't give you a permit. And I stood there. Come on. That's shameless audacity. And you know what? His boss walked by, and I knew his name. I said, Ross, come over here and sign this for me. I need a permit. He looked at the guy, and the guy went like this. He took it in his office, came out 2 minutes later with a permit.
Amen.
Not because I had this great, victorious idea of who I was. I knew that I had a right to that permit. Come on. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you a natural example of a spiritual truth. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Lack doesn't belong to me because I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And poverty and lack is one of the things that God you put into the law that tells you what Satan will do to you if you belong to the devil. Prosperity belongs to me. Blessing belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. Peace belongs to me. Sweet sleep belongs to the righteous. All these things belong to me. Oh, quick, praise the Lord. Verse 9. So I say to you, so he's teaching on prayer, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What's he talking about? Prayer. Now, you may have to spend some time in the Word and spend some time in prayer so that you know the will of God. But once you know, see, there's that shameless audacity that you know. You say, okay, God, I'm ready for it. He's not going to go, oh, let me get it. I didn't think you'd have it. Be ready. No, he knew before the foundation of the world. His desire is not to withhold. His desire is to give. His desire is to promote. His desire is to increase. You can't tell anybody who studied the Word of God that His desire is for you to be lacking, for His desire is for you to be sick, for His desire is for you to just be nominal. You're to be above average. You're to be a head above the crowd. You're to be the head and not the tail. You're to lend to nations, not to borrow. Is that Scripture? Amen, that's Scripture. Praise the Lord. All right. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, I want to read verse 9 and verse 10 while you're turning. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Let me read this to you. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it and it'll be yours. So I say to you, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. For whoever asks, receives. Come on. And the book of James says, when you ask, you're not to doubt. That doubt's not in your head, it's got to be in your heart. Because if you doubt, you're going to be like a wave tossed to and fro. You're going to go just all over the ocean wherever Satan wants you to go. And you shouldn't think that you'd receive anything. So here's the point, guys. It's not, you know, let's train the mind to say the right thing. When your heart is changed, you don't have to train the tongue. When your heart is full of the will of God, your mind will get in line. So you've got to know the will of God. Brother Hagin used to say, a know-so experience. Amen. All right, where do we go? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, spiritual thing, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, it's not just that God is, but that He wants to reward you. It doesn't say that He's a payer of those who labor for Him, does it? It doesn't say that He's good on His deals. It says that He's a rewarder. And that word brings across the idea that He gives you what you don't deserve. You seek Him and He rewards you. You seek Him and He rewards you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things will be added unto you. And without faith it's impossible to please God. For if you come to Him, you must believe that He is and that He rewards him who seeks Him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Where do you believe? You have to believe in your heart. You understand that we tend to interpret the world based on our naturalness. We interpret sometimes, we perceive God as we did our natural father. We perceive God as we do the government. We perceive God as anybody who's been an authority in our life. We look at Him through those eyes. We're looking at Him through natural eyes. But when you look at Him through the light of His Word and the eyes of your spirit, like it says in Ephesians, the eyes of the inner man is enlightened by a fresh breath of the Spirit of God, so you may, what? Know the hope of your calling. understand the riches that belong to his children that you've inherited, and the power that is in you according to your faith. So when you ask, it will be given. When you seek, you will find. When you believe in your heart, you have received it, it will be yours. What does any of that have to do with time? If you train yourself to believe it because you can feel it, you're never going to be in faith. If you live your life to only believe the things that you can see, touch, smell, and taste, you're never going to be in faith. All right, praise the Lord. And the Lord said, let there be light, and there was. Hey, it was good. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. It pleases God when you ask Him, knowing He will give. It pleases God when you ask Him and you believe He's a rewarder. It pleases God when you ask Him and you believe that it's yours. Come on. It pleases God. So what's contrary to that? When you ask and you're like, well, I don't know if He will, that doesn't please Him. When you ask and you say, well, I don't know, I don't really deserve it, that doesn't please Him. What pleases Him is when you know that He's going to give you more than you deserve. Whether it be healing, friendship, love, peace, joy, strength, whatever it is. Victory over those who persecute you. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Still talking about prayer. Which of your fathers, if your son asks him for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Quentin asks you for peanut butter and jelly sandwich, are you going to give him rotten sardines? No. If your son says, I don't feel very well, are you going to give him just a little bit of arsenic? No. Come on. If your father, your natural father, won't do that, why would we expect God to do that? You first must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder. That's the basis of faith. That He's good. All good and perfect gifts come from the Heavenly Father who lives in unapproachable light, the Scripture says. God didn't give you junk. He gives you good stuff. And He's not waiting for the bargain deal to get the stuff to give you because He put it aside before the foundation of the world. We had these neighbors when I was growing up, and they used to put stuff on layaway. I never heard about layaway until, you know, they said, well, we got this. Well, where is it? It's at Kmart. We put it on layaway. What's layaway? That's when you pay $1 on a $10 item, and then you just keep paying until the $10 is paid, and then you get the stuff. Come on. You know what layaway is? God has laid away everything that you'll ever have need of to accomplish everything He's ever revealed to you in your spirit to give you more than enough to give into every good work. Come on. He has done that. He's laid it away before the foundation of the world, and all you got to do is go to the claims center and you give them the ticket, which is faith, and it's yours. It's already paid for in full before the foundation of the world. Joy, peace, strength, love, material things, houses, friends. Come on. Verse 13. If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to all who ask? If you have wisdom, ask. Where does it come from? The mind of Christ. God's not going to speak to your head. He's going to speak to your heart. If you don't know it's yours, and you ask Him, He's going to show you it's yours. It's going to come through revelation. And when you ask, you'll receive. When you pray and you believe in your heart, and that comes from revelation, it's a spiritual thing that's been established before the foundation of the world. When you ask, you get it. You know that you know that you know. Now, the hardest part is to begin to proclaim what He's revealed to you. And there's a point where you'll proclaim and proclaim, and once it fills your heart, you've got it. Now, once your head agrees, once your heart is full of it, to where they can't take it away because you've experienced it, but I don't have it yet. That's right. But you had it before the foundation of the world, and when you see it, come on. Who can take it away from you? Now, this is a poor example, but who could tell me that permit did not belong to us? Nobody. I had to get to the point where I was irritated enough, just like Paul was, that he said, devil woman, you get out of her, when that spirit was prophesying, disturbing his ministry. I get to the point where I was irritated enough that I grabbed down on the inside and I said, no, that's our permit. Come on. It's just like the building across the street. You know, 15,000 square feet, and the Lord said, go get it. They wouldn't talk to us. And then when they did talk to us, they said, how much money do you have? We don't have any. Well, why should we sell you that building? Because you're not using it. We have need of it. Come on. Just like this property. They wanted $1.8 million for this particular property. We had negative $300 in the checkbook, but God said, go get it. I remember I went to the guy's office who owned it, and I introduced myself, and he says, now, why am I going to sell this to you? And I told him how much he was going to sell it to me for. And he said, I've got more than that in it. I said, well, that's what you're going to sell it to us for. Months later, we walked out with a contract with nothing down and the property. You understand? Because I knew that I knew that I knew. God woke me up and told me, go check on the cathedral. And all the revelation came when He said those few words. I just had to walk in line with it, even though nobody agreed with it. This is like they're saying, there's no way you're going to get that roof on here, but it's coming in February. New gables, new steeples. I have half an inkling that God's just allowing the congregation to be small so people can say, well, it wasn't the size of the congregation that did that. Absolutely. I don't care. But I know that what is working in our life and ministry will work in your life. And I'm trying to put it as simply as possible. You just got to see on the inside, and then you just got to do. And when your head screams no, and your emotion screams no, and everybody else screams you're crazy, you just keep doing it. It doesn't hurt to go back and water that thing every now and then and say, God, I mean, that's what you said, right? Yeah. So, okay, then that's what I'm doing. He'll take you out and show you the star. He didn't show Abraham the sand on the seashore the same day He showed him the stars in the sky. That's right. And He didn't do that the same day that He said you're going to have a child. And He didn't do that the same day that He said you're going to be the father of many nations. Come on. Mm-hmm. But He put something in him He could not deny. He had experienced it. The only person that can keep you from doing what God has called you to do is you. Can you say amen? So let me read these things one more time. Praise the Lord. He said, teach us how to pray. He said, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him, you come to Him in prayer, must believe that He is, that He's there, you're going to where He is, and that He's going to give you what you're asking for. So what am I saying? Know what's yours. You guys are from up in Ankeny. How many years you been there?
2004.
Okay. We got there in 2001. Do you remember the area that was between Ordnance and then Ore Labor? Between Magazine and... So that was all cornfield back then. I'm riding my bike through it. I'm walking through it. I'm praying. And God, this is all cornfield. And I said, God, I got a revelation. You know, this is good land. There's some money to be made here. I mean, lots of money to be made here. And it was one of the first times I did. I said, God, can I ask you for this? He said, you can, but I've got something better for you. And that was in the middle of Ankeny. God is establishing a campus in the middle of Des Moines. In the heartbeat of this state and in this nation, we're nestled right in the center of it. And what people thought was worthless is a treasure that will bring matchless souls into the kingdom of God. Train up laborers and to go into the harvest field. Go into the mission field, not only overseas, but here. We don't even have to plant the thing. All we've got to do, the roots are down there. It's been cut off. All we got to do is fertilize the thing, redig the well that Jacob had dug and let it just start coming up and out. When we pray in this place, we don't pray our ideas. We're hooking onto the prayers of 120 years and perpetuating them on into eternity. When you know that you know that you know. So what I'm saying, ask God. Get in His Word. Establish the fact before you frustrate your faith. Everybody say frustrate your faith. And try to pray something out of your head or your emotion or a natural human desire. Learn how to pray out of your spirit in accordance with the Word. And you'll get what you ask for every time. You've got to get to that point that it's the abundance of your heart. And the only way you can get the mind to agree with it when you read the Word. You're going to get your spirit to see it, to experience it when you spend time with Him. Can you say amen? All right, let's pray, guys. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that dreams have been restored. Visions that were cut short, miscarried, or even aborted can live. And we declare, Father, in Jesus' name, life, life, and more life in our inner man. That we may see and know the hope of our calling, the inheritance that belonged to each and every one of us, and the power that is available to us that is just like the power that is the power you used when you raised your Son from the dead. Quicken us with your Spirit, Lord. Help us to recall your Word on a daily basis, moment by moment, and to live out of the abundance of your Spirit that's within us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
We hope that you are blessed by the Word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.